Hello and welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and of course on our podcast. I'm AD Packham and we are on the beach in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well then, the dust has now settled on another season, and whilst we didn't quite achieve our goal of European qualification, it was still our second best season ever, finishing eighth with 61 points. And we finished the season strongly, winning four of the last five games. We scored 83 goals in all competitions, and we had 18 different goal scorers. And we had three players get into double figures. And of course, Carew won Match of the Day's Goal of the Season award. And now then, we enter into the silly season where all of our players are going to be linked to every club in the world. And of course, some will go. But if we can keep most of this squad together, the signs are the next season we could achieve something really special. So then, as is tradition at this time of the year, we have gathered the band back together again for our season review. And we get to find out who was completely wide of the mark and who was spot on with their pre-season predictions. I can tell you, none of you were spot on.
No.
So, actually, there are some very close ones in there, but we'll come to that later. But please welcome, on the bouzouki, it's Marcus Hancocks. On the octobass, it's Andy Bass. And on the didgeridoo, please welcome Alan Wares. And on the euphonium, it's Phil Shelley. Hello, hello, hello. And happy end of the season, chaps.
Hello.
As long as you're on vocals, AD.
Oh, always on the vocals.
He's always on vocals.
Andy, do you actually know what an octobass is?
I do not. No.
It is. I looked it up. It's an octobass is an extremely large and very rare bowed-stringed instrument.
Oh, marvellous.
Yes, there you go. That is you, that is.
Well, you're glad you're sitting down for that one, aren't you, mate?
But, okay, look, I mean, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, guys. I know, I think, having had that European qualification and have that adventure in Europe previously, I think we're all hoping for that again. So there is a tinge of disappointment, which is tells you how far we've come. Bearing in mind, it's our second best ever finish.
Well, the disappointment is the fact is not so much we didn't make Europe; it's the fact that that lot did.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that it was a great season for me, anyway. And as regards Europe, I was kind of like torn either way towards the end. Disappointed that we didn't get it, but I'm not massively disappointed that we didn't get it, because I think the Conference League would have been a bit of a drain on us.
And the bank balance.
In terms of the squad, but and the volume of games. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that we're now in a position to compete for Europe. So whilst we're not guaranteed Europe, but at least at least we can genuinely aspire to it now. And I think, you know, next year we'll be giving it another go.
Phil, do you think that a European challenge, therefore, is now, we've now got to the point where it's expected?
No, I never think we're expecting anything, because let's face it, we've been following football, proper football, for so many years. And, you know, you can see, As somebody says on a football finance podcast, at some point both Brighton and Crystal Palace will be relegated from the Premier League. Mm-hmm. It's an inevitability, and so therefore I don't ever expect us to qualify for Europe. I'm just going to my very small bang on it. The only thing I do expect us to do is to beat the worst teams in the league at home. Well, but apart from that, no, I don't expect European football, Alan. I know some people.
Sorry, Phil. I just want to sort of like finally tune that question. I wasn't saying about the. Was I expecting qualification? Would you expect us to be challenging to get into Europe? Was my point.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the investment that the owners put into the playing side of the team, absolutely. We've got to be challenging for it with that investment, certainly.
As opposed to what I mean is looking over our shoulder at the trapdoor.
with what he's put in, with what with the recruitment that's gone on in the last 4 or 5 seasons, we at the moment should never be looking at the trapdoor.
Yeah, particularly. I mean, when you look at, I mean, obviously we last week we were at Spurs, who it was a very weird game, that one. It was so strange because normally, I mean, where I was in the press box, normally when you're humping somebody like that, it's
Excuse
fun.
me. Is that
It's
what you
fun
do in the press
watching.
box?
It's fun watching the home crowd like slowly melt, but and slowly unravel. But they were like, "Oh, I've got a flag!" Woo! As we put four past them, it was just
Well,
weird.
yeah.
But I mean, but going back to what I was saying, Spurs, another season, they could have been relegated, right? Because I mean, that they finished 17th. They're just above the bottom three. It's
What was their
ridiculous.
points total in the end? They didn't
38.
get to 40.
I don't think they care, to be honest with you. I know I wouldn't, but there you go. Everyone's different. I mean, everybody was saying about Palace's run last season when they played teams on the beach. That's what we did in the last three games of the season. That's a fact, without a doubt. Personally speaking, I'm disappointed we didn't qualify for Europe. We should have qualified way before Palace even got to the cup final, and we didn't. As Phil has said about beating the teams, the three worst teams in the league at home, Reading again. So there's lots to work on. Personally, I'm disappointed. We should have been higher. That is the hill I will die on. We should have been higher. The chairman invested lots. We did not have a European campaign to distract us this year. Sorry, but for me personally, don't want to be, Mr. Downer, but I've had a bit of a downer about our particular manager this season anyway, and I'm hoping for big improvement next season, let's put it that way.
Well, given the
Just
circumstances, I actually think he's done a sensational job.
I don't well I no not particularly, in my opinion. It should have been higher. We should have had more points. We should have beaten these teams at home comfortably, and we didn't. We lost to our rivals home and away. We lost 7-0. That didn't happen under De Zerbi. I don't want to make comparisons between the two because they are chalk and cheese. But, Fabian didn't have a
We didn't
European
lose seven, but
campaign.
we did lose six under De Zerbi, though. So it's
But that's the worst result since 1960 something, and we hadn't lost a double to Palace since 1930 something. So, for me, jury's very much out. I'm disappointed. In a way, my bank balance is not disappointed because I think Andy's right. It certainly would have been drain on finances going to Kazakhstan, twice a week or whatever in the European Conference League. That will, and it will be a distraction for next season. But for me personally, he's got to get top five or six with that team and that investment. I'm sorry, but you have to, mate. And if you don't like that pressure, time to go.
Well,
Because
I'm gonna
that's
make
what
that
we
count.
expect.
I'm gonna make the counter argument there, because I mean, a lot of people are putting a lot of store by that quote, 200 million quid. It was never, and this is the thing about the nature of Albion's recruitment. It's never something where we've never bought a player who is oven ready. We don't. We can't. So it's always with a view to looking to further into the future. And when you look at what Hertzler had to inherit, which was a team that was heading in the wrong direction, with
That
an
was
entirely new
brilliant.
bunch of staff that had never played, well, half the team had never played in the Premier League before. And then, I'm not going to go down the injuries route because, as much as we can complain about injuries, everyone has them.
Top of the league
Not as
injuries.
many as us.
No, we did actually finish most of man hours down out of
I
any
think
team
we
in the
did,
Premier League
and I
this
think
season.
we did last season as well.
So my point would be is, while
And
I
we have
agree
good
with you that
players
we're
this
going to be
week.
better next year, it's
Well,
because necessarily
exactly.
because of the money that was spent this year. It's more to do with the fact that these players are now finally going to be coming on stream. And I think, as the point that AD's making at the top of the show there, the last five games where we won four of them, I think actually sort of leads us into to the close season with every reason to be optimistic.
Okay. Well, let's go back then to the beginning of this season, back in the days when Marcus wasn't so grizzled. And but let's go back to August. And The season started with great optimism. The club had just splurged nearly 200 million quid in the transfer market. We saw some of the new stars on the Japanese tour, like the likes of the highly rated Malik Yalcore and Mario Kosiedjubre, Ibrahim Osman. They were all sent off on loan alongside Facundo Buonanotti. But we kicked off with our last ever trip to Goodison, with goals from Carew, Danny, and Simon Adingra got the season off to a flyer. The trend of late winners started as Pedro's 90th minute winner saw us beat Man United. Matt O'Riley made his debut against Crawley, which lasted all of 9 minutes after a thuggish tackle put him out for most of the season. And then a hilarious draw at Arsenal rounded off the month. So, all in all, not a bad month, August. Obviously, the game at Arsenal, which Arsenal fans are still grizzling about, and the sending off of Declan Rice. Marcus, you enjoyed that, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I'll tell you
Any
what.
highlights from August from you guys?
Absolutely. Ayari played absolutely brilliantly at Arsenal. He was fantastic. And I know you're going to carry on. We'll probably touch on him later. But that for me was one of his best games he ever played for us. And he very nearly scored as well. You know, he's found his scoring boots towards the end of the season, but he was brilliant in
Is
that
that the shot where he basically had two thirds of the goal to aim at and aimed at the wrong third?
Basically, yes. But we're forgiving that because he only, it's still early in the season, etc., etc. But it's just a shame throughout the course of the season he didn't replicate that for whatever reason. But he was outstanding, absolutely outstanding that game. I'll still talk about it now because credit where credit's due. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
And he was someone who actually got better as the season went on.
Yes, I mean the jury's still out for me a little bit with him, but I think there is. I mean, he's starting to show a lot more, I think.
I think I
He's
go
not a defensive midfielder, basically. That's the long and the short of it.
well.
He's better not protecting the back four because he has got the old twinkle toes, and he can find a pass, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But he's not one to protect the back four, which again annoys me that the manager has sort of played him most in that position, and that's not his best position. So he's doing what he can, but. When he is given license to roam forward, I know we're not quite at Anfield yet, but that first half at Anfield before Liverpool up to get again, he was outstanding,
Yeah.
absolutely outstanding. It really was. It was like, wow, we really do have a player here. And then yeah, anyway. But yeah.
One player that has had probably, by his standards, a disappointing season, is Matt O'Riley, because he would have hoped to have like done a lot more. But obviously it didn't start very well for him, and that really was a horrific tackle in that Crawley game.
Oh, it's not his fault, is it? At
No, it's not
the
his fault, but I mean, it kind of put him on the back burner for most of the season, because he would, that was his debut. 9 minutes in, that tackle, he didn't, and the Crawley fella didn't even get sent off. It was, I can't figure how he didn't get sent off. It's in what language is that not a red card?
was the fact that the player was winking as well, wasn't it, to the team?
Oh,
I mean, it was
really?
proper.
But I mean, Matt O'Riley is a player which he came with a lot of potential. There's a lot of hype over it, and he's shown glimpses over the end of the season, where he started 5 games in a row towards the end, didn't he? And I think there's a lot more to come from him next season, so I'm excited about that. But and obviously beating Man United, which is customary these days.
Yeah, that was great, and like the first of the late goals, yeah, terrific goal by Pedro at the end. But yeah, it was really, really, really sweet to get off. There's always, I think, there's more pressure on those games now that I do expect to win them, and it would be quite embarrassing not to beat Man United now. And so I've now got that anxiety, instead of like, oh, I think they're really good and they're going to beat us. Now I think they're rubbish and we should beat them, and now I'm worried about that.
This
But
is
it was another joy. It was a great, great start to the
okay.
season.
Well,
This
let's
is
move
one
on
of
to
the
Zep.
things.
Sorry, I'm just going to sort of like finish off that point by saying that this is one of the things I was saying about how we finished the end of last season. We lost to Chelsea and Manchester United, which is pretty damning, if you ask me. Because I say the likes of Chelsea and the likes of Manchester United are there as fodder for us, especially at our place. And we lost, and that's effectively what Hertzler had to inherit, was a team that was not
Yeah.
doing as well as it could or should have done. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on to September then. And a familiar trend started the month, was unable to beat a side that was to be relegated in Ipswich. We progressed in the League Cup, beating Wolves 3-2. And then we dropped more points at home with a 2-2 draw with Forest. And we ended the month with some question marks over Fabian Hertzler's high line as we were thumped 4-2 at Cole Palmer.
I
Yeah.
thought you did there, Amy. Well done.
And when Cole Palmer went off the boil later in the season, look what happened to
Did.
Chelsea.
Yeah. Like, he is
I
a one man
thought
team, like.
that
So.
Chelsea game was really entertaining. And we actually didn't play that badly in it. We just gifted them the first goal. They were very, very lucky with a dodgy free kick spot for their third.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Wasn't it the case that the high line was not responsible for any of the goals?
I think it
Not the
was
ones
actually.
that
Yeah,
allowed, no.
I don't think it was. They had goals. They had goals disallowed. So, and they had some offsides that showed that the line was working.
Yeah.
But Palmer was just unstoppable in that game. But I thought we added to that game. We started the game really well. And even after going behind with the third goal, we still go up the other end, and Belabi gets another cheeky gift off Robert Sanchez to make it 3-2, and then they just get another one. I mean,
Yeah.
it was just mental. It was a mental game of football. I mean, it was just it was.
I don't suppose the Chelsea manager was happy with their performance, was he? Especially defensively.
No, I mean it was an entertaining game. I think it's been a lot. I think me and Marcus are going to disagree on pretty much everything. You're certainly going to disagree on one of my answers for our little awards thing at the end.
Sure.
But
It's not your game of the season, is it, Andy? But me.
the game of the season is there's so many.
We'll come
I'm
back to
not, still
that.
not even sure I've got my actual game of the season, but I've got a quite a long list of games of the
Fair enough.
season.
Well, I'm here to remind you. Okay. Well, I mean, again, the 2-2 draw home to Forest, which seemed like a bad result at the time, turned out to be quite a good one, I guess.
Oh,
Bearing
good.
in mind the season they went on to have. I mean, at the time we played them, they were still being tipped for relegation, so it was kind of like
Was that the Morgan Gibbs-White red card?
was.
Yes,
Yeah.
it was. Yeah,
It was, yeah.
which it got
Yeah.
rescinded though, didn't it?
No.
No.
No. No, it was there was a couple of there was a kind of a panel that isn't part of the FA. It was kind of a referees panel that's advisory. I think they have a panel of three, and two said that shouldn't have been a red card. They are now, I don't know, head down in a ditch somewhere, I think.
And we must remember that Forest at the time were second bottom, so another team we failed to beat at home, who were at the time the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, and that game against Ipswich as well, which we'll come to this in a minute, Andy, won't we? Because it was the first nil nil of the season came in
Yes.
September, but we'll more on that later. Obviously, getting past Wolves in the League Cup, that was a there was a few scares in there. We should have been a lot more comfortable than it actually was. But yeah, we progressed, and so
And I think Kadioglu came on and had it, scored a goal. I think
yeah,
so.
he scored yes
It was
a late
ultimately
winner,
the
yeah.
winner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's again another talent who we saw as having something to offer, apart from do not ever, ever, ever play him at left back again. But you could, again, another person who we've hardly seen that we've signed. So I don't know what it is about whether we either buy players made of paper or we get sort of, they get run over by bulldozers on the pitch.
Well, the new doctors haven't really helped, have they, with the
No.
injuries
Well, I
this
don't think it's
season?
their fault when a Crawley player absolutely smashes Matt O'Reilly
No, that's
into the
not
middle of next
that.
week.
That's
Yeah,
not. But
I agree. Yeah.
haven't we got another new doctor now as well? So there's obviously an area in our recruitment that's lacking, I think.
Yeah. Well, Marcus is our resident doctor expert, so but okay, well let's move on to October then, and that got off to a winning start. We came from 2-0 down to beat Spurs 3-2. A hard-fought win at Newcastle followed before we lost a 2-0 win in the 88th minute against Wolves. It was also a game that saw Evan Ferguson come on and score his one and only goal for anyone this season.
Yeah,
He'll
I
be
mean,
back.
yeah,
And
it's looking like
yeah.
he might come back because I don't see who else wants him.
Yeah.
So,
But I should also point out that we did actually bow out of the League Cup in an entertaining game with Liverpool as well
that's
in
right.
at the end
Yeah,
of the
we
month.
did. We could have probably won that Liverpool game. I think they played a fairly scratched team, but so did we. But I think if we'd have gone a little bit more full strength, we would. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You know, Granny Ball's granddad, Lil Brady. So,
Yeah.
you know. But
Mulder
yeah,
played
that Wolves
that
game
game.
was disappointing. You know, 2-0 up, should have won that. You know, and that started me thinking, you know, this is, you know, we're starting to concede sort of late goals here, not one but two, in the last sort of 8 minutes of the game, and it would prove to be again next month as well. So that's when I started question marks, and obviously that Chelsea game as well. I was like, you know, what's going on here, kind of thing.
Do the
You know,
wins not count?
got a brilliant win against Spurs, to be fair. You know, it's not all down doom and gloom. You know, that was brilliant. 2-0 down and dig out 3-2. I was in Naples that day, actually, and watched it on the telly. And I was delighted because we were 2-0 down. And I said to Levan, I'm not bothering about this. And then we walked back, sat down, something to eat, and it had the game on. She said, I don't mind, you can go and watch it. It's like, okay, fine. And there was a German couple sitting next to us. And he could tell I was a Brighton fan, and we'd scored early in the second half. To make it 2-1. And he could see I was interested in the game. So he started watching the game as well. And his girlfriend was clearly getting annoyed with him because he was getting invested in that game as well, like I was. Of course, you know, and then we scored, and then we scored again. And you know, and so you know, Ivana doesn't mind the football, by the way, to be fair to her, but you can see his girlfriend was a bit like, oh bloody hell. Anyway,
Yeah.
there you go. Moving on.
Well, yeah, that the Spurs game, it was a really fun game, and it is up there in discussion for one of the games of the season, I think.
Maybe. When do you want to
Yeah,
get to
certainly in terms of like the
Yeah.
delight.
And you know, Jorginho's goal in that game as well was absolutely wonderful, and actually Danny's, and well, Jorginho was just like a.
Jorginho, you're talking about Ayari being on fire at Liverpool and what have you. I thought Jorginho was the well, so obviously the first half
Oh,
we were barely out of the traps.
yeah.
But then something, and it was probably just the finest of tweaks. I mean, Postecoglou was moaning at his side, but actually, what it was we changed it. They didn't react. Now he's going to blame his players, but actually, you can look at yourself here, Sunshine. Hertzler did the right thing, did what was necessary. They and the rest, as they say, is well, it's the rest they say is hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, shall we move on to November?
No,
Why not?
let's yeah, go on then.
Okay, November started then as October finished with a game against Liverpool and again losing to the eventual champions, but it was a game where we should probably have got something. Man City were next to visit the Amex and another late winner, this time from Matt O'Reilly, so let's take all 3 points. We then had a trip down the coast of Bournemouth where goals from Zhao and Carew saw us come home with the points before dropping another 2 points at home to Southampton. And this was the Southampton game where their equaliser was scored by a tackle Flynn Downes, who should have been sent off.
Yes, I
That's
remember
so
you were
annoying
very
when that
cross
happened.
about that
Yeah.
particular afterwards. Yeah.
That's so annoying. That really is. You know, they need to do. I don't know what the football authorities can do about that. Well, send them off, obviously. But you know, it's so annoying when that happens, when the
Well,
players get sent off and
actually,
everything.
let's ask this as a general question, and I don't know if this is fair, bearing in mind that we played 38 games plus the cup games plus everything else you see. Let's start with you, Phil. You know, Mr. sort of like the fellow who drinks liquid optimism and is a beacon of positivity. What do you think of the standard of refereeing actually this season, and certainly in comparison to what's gone before?
I don't really think it's improved particularly. I think we were hoping that the automated offside thing would help, but clearly it hasn't. They can still take 5 minutes to decide something that people in the ground can see comfortably is offside, or onside, whichever it may be. Listen, I don't want to go on a downer on the referees any more than I normally do. I just don't think they are able to do their job properly, and that's probably partly due to them. And I mean, people sort of seem to think some referees have got an agenda. I don't think that's the case. I think some referees are unable to help themselves when they're reffing for the big clubs. I do think there's an issue there, but that's more about the amount of grief that they get from the media, from the social media, from the fans. And at the end of the day, they are human beings, and if they are being subjected to that and they just don't want their lives being made a misery because of making a decision like that, perhaps that influences them subconsciously. I don't think they do it necessarily consciously, and I think it's time to stop naming the referees, and the referees get chosen 2 days before the match. So there's no time for anyone to get up in their knickers in a twist saying, "Oh, well, it's him, we're going to lose." You've got no time to do it. I don't know, something should be done just to make the referees more benign in the first place. Whether they wear a mask and you don't know who they are, I don't know, but
Is
seriously.
this like the Masked Singer of referees?
And they take it off at the end.
They
Aha.
come out
Boo.
dressed as a
Well,
giant kumquat or something.
the mask comes off and it's me, it's Michael Bublé.
I do think that they're under an extraordinary amount of pressure, for which I wouldn't fancy myself. I think they are sometimes swayed by the magnitude of the game. Maybe not to the game, maybe the stadium that they're at when they're at Old Trafford, when they're at White Hart Lane, when they're at Anfield, as opposed to when they're at the Amex or at the Bournemouth Stadium or the GTEC. I just think perhaps that plays on their mind, and because of the amount of scrutiny that they're under and the amount of frankly crap that they get from the media and the fans and the wider audience, to a degree you can't really blame them for being a little bit irregular.
Now, Andy, with that all that in mind, certainly I'm thinking here from memory, and I could be wrong, and I'm just looking at this from the wrong perspective. I would be of the opinion that actually there was a couple of games that I'm trying to think of where I'm thinking, well, that referee just gave us nothing, absolutely, and some of them it was bent. And I'm thinking, like, for instance, the home Newcastle game towards the end of the season, where the referee was just absolutely determined to give Newcastle a penalty. But my point is, I'm thinking actually that for us, VAR has actually worked quite well, is it not? Or am I missing something?
Well, it works well for us because the referees make quite obvious mistakes that they should get right the first time round. I don't think that's really sort of like, oh, see, VAR favours Brighton. It's just no, the referees keep making wrong decisions in our matches. So, I mean, that's the way that I view that particular sort of stat.
Can anyone think of the game that I'm thinking of where the referee, it was a home game where we got absolutely anything? I don't even recall it was a defeat
I
or
think it might have been Villa at home,
possibly. Yes,
but
that
to be
seems to
honest, we
ring a
didn't deserve
bell.
anything out of that game anyway, so it wasn't really the ref's fault that we lost
I think,
3-0.
yeah. I mean, I think the point, yes, you're right there. We lost 3-0 because, hey, we conceded three goals and none of those were down to the referee, but every other decision was along the lines of, hang on, how come Belieber's got his leg hanging off his shoulder here and his nose has gone through his backside and we're still not getting a yellow card?
Well, there's a game we're going to be talking about here in a minute, and it was, and actually it was quite costly later on in the season, but there was a clear red card in a game at Bournemouth where João Pedro was lucky to stay on the pitch. We did actually lose Carlos Belibra in that game anyway as well, actually, but
For a non-foul, yeah.
yeah, basically. But it was, it swings around. We moan about referees. We do it every week. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. And the technology doesn't necessarily always help them. we've said it before. We've said it, and we'll probably say it again. The rules of the game are not fit to be micromanaged in the way that it is at the moment. And so basically, VAR's not going anywhere. So what's going to have to happen is the rules are going to have to change with that in mind.
Well, what do you have in mind along those lines then? Can you give me a for instance?
Well, it's just things like the Nats Pugh offside decisions, which is no one's getting any sort of advantage from those whatsoever. It's marginal calls. If you can't see it with the naked eye, then you call it. So basically, Arsene Wenger says make the lines bigger, give the advantage to the attacker in that particular instance. Because if it is, we've had so many goals ruled off for absolutely minimal. Offsides against them, and it's just frustrating. I mean, it is the same for everybody, but those rules need to be changed in
But it's
order
not the
to.
same for everybody, is it? Because we've seen VAR line decisions that are quite clearly offside, and they've been given as goals and vice versa. So I think that's where the semi-automated may have improved it a little. But what you said, AD, I agree. And you talk about Pedro when he should have been sent off at Bournemouth, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Why didn't the VAR ref just squirt in the ear of the on-pitch ref, said send him off? That's a red card, because everyone could see it was a red card. So what's the point of the technology if the technology can't just squirt straight in his ear? That's a red card, send him off. Doesn't need to be reviewed. And they don't, because they don't use, and this is, so that's, I think Alan was saying that's like a failure, and you were saying it's a failure of the refereeing setup and how the rules are dealt with. But for me, again, I think the refs are in an impossible position, because if they started doing that, we'd get the ump with that as well.
Oh well, this was, this whole VAR thing was meant to stop us having these arguments. It just makes it worse.
It's a dreadful system, absolutely dreadful
Well, I
system.
think
Okay,
it's.
well,
I
let,
think.
let's talk. Let's talk about some positives, though, because November wasn't all bad. I mean, obviously, we went to the eventual champions, Liverpool. We lost the game 2-1, but I think we played really, really well. Marcus mentioned Ayari's performance in that game, which was great. Obviously, a first league goal for Kadioglu as well. And we should have probably got some more out of that game. So that was disappointing. And then, of course, the visit of Manchester City. That was the beginning. I mean, they just lost at Bournemouth, hadn't they, City? Up until that point, they were still challenging for the title. They were still the Man City, but and then they came to us, and we beat them as well. And that was really their watching City nosedive, but we still beat them. And that last minute goal from O'Reilly was just delightful, Andy.
Oh, it's brilliant. That's definitely one of the moments of the season, I think, in terms of like the crowd going absolutely mad at the Amex, just because of the size of the opponent. I mean, that was a and it was like a proper league game. It wasn't like, oh, we beat them at the end of the season when they'd already won the title and everyone was being quite nice and complimentary. This was actually like a proper contest. And again, on the back of playing Liverpool the week before, where we played brilliantly and Liverpool had to play really well in the second half to win that game. They had to bring their A game, and Slot changed it around at half time, and that second half was impressive. I'm not going to say I enjoyed it, but I acknowledge that Liverpool were great, and for once Anfield actually sounded really loud. But that first half was great, and then to follow it up with the City performance, absolutely superb, and delighted for O'Reilly. He's just had a bit of a mixed bag of a season, really.
Couple of things on the back of that, and I know we're going to actually touch on this because of one of the questions you're going to ask us, AD, is that actually over the last 3 or 4 years, every single Brighton versus Liverpool game has been a really good spectacle. We know they're the superior side, but we always give them a game and we always come away with a decent result against them. Well, I say 2-1 once upon a time would have sounded decent. And like you say, you're saying we could have got something out of it. Absolutely. And in fact, playing against the quote top six, even that mad Chelsea game, we could have got something out of it. So each of those six games, there was something for us. Where if you then rewind 8 years, we're hoping they just keep it to four. But also, I'm going to say about the Man City game. Yeah, it was a mad game. You had Pedro, and it's one of those where, because they only scored within 5 minutes of each other, Pedro on 78 and O'Reilly on 83, the crowd is still getting its breath back. But it was such a competitive game. I'm just looking at the details here. Van Hecke and Haaland both got booked on 90 minutes plus 10. And
Oh,
those two, let's face it, there's no love lost between those two. I'm always
no, that's
talking
true.
about those huge, it's like those a huge fight between those old it's a knockout giants that you used to have. They're just slugging away and neither of them go down.
Yeah. And just before we move on, actually, that Bournemouth game, there was the go Carey's goal. What a move and what a pass from João Pedro.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't in the running for Match of the Day's sort of goals of the season anyway. I know we obviously know who actually won it, but sorry, that definitely is up there, 100%. When
That
I was
pass
looking
from
at the...
Pedro is my favourite pass of this. If we had pass of the season,
Absolutely. Pass of the season.
that would be it for
100%.
me.
I would actually come up with a separate one for that one, Andy, but we'll come back to that
I've
later.
got actually
Blind rule.
there
Yeah.
was a
I'm going
bit.
to say the pass of the season for me was from Verbruggen.
Well,
Yeah.
obviously that goes without saying,
Okay.
but
Okay, well, you're listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. And this season, we have been brought to you in association with the wonderful Flowers Unlimited, Alan.
yes, I'm delighted to say that we'll also be brought in association with them next season as well. So thank you very much indeed to Dave for agreeing to carry on his association with this the Dumb and Dumber. Yes, you can go to Flowers Unlimited and spend your hard-earned cash there on anything that might say happy birthday, happy anniversary. I'm sorry, darling, I didn't mean to kill the cat. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to crash the car. Anything that actually says a message, go to Flowers Unlimited. You can get bottles of champagne, you can get chocolates there. I wouldn't eat the flowers, but the chocolates and champagne, very, very Moorish. Head to 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove. And if you're an Albion season ticket holder, just let them know and you'll get 20% discount off them. So Flowers Unlimited, 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove.
And of course, today we do have a former sponsor, Phil Shelley from oldfootballshirts.com. Well, you're not anymore, are you? But
No.
have you got a favourite floral shirt, Phil?
Oh, now
Picked.
you're putting me on the spot. But it's probably that one I picked up in Florence last year before.
Oh yeah, lovely. Yeah.
That's got little flowers in it, hasn't it?
Well, like a little fleur de
Fleur
lis.
de lis, Phil. Fleur de
I know. With a fleur. Fleur means flower.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I think you've threatened to ask me to do you a flowery shirt of the week sometime. So I'll have a think about it. We'll do one next season.
We'll do
Boom.
that. We will
Yeah.
indeed. Okay, let's move on to December then. And it proved to be a very costly month. And, well, the festive month got underway with our customary defeat at Craven Cottage. We then let another two goals lead slip at Leicester, a horrible home defeat to Palace. And draws with West Ham, Brentford, and Villa saw that we had no wins at all in December.
And isn't context.
Moving on.
Sorry, go on, Phil.
Yeah,
Go
moving on.
on.
That'll
Yeah.
do. Moving on to January.
Nothing to see there.
Nothing
Nothing
to
to see
see
there.
here
That's
at
when I
all.
started to get really angry. Anyway.
I'll just say
I'm
I
losing
left
context
before
here.
the final whistle of one of those games.
Moving on.
I'm going to put some context here. I'm going to say that that draw at Villa actually was a much better
That was a
performance than the other ones, because let's face it, we never get anything there.
No, you're right, actually.
Well,
To
no,
be fair,
we
we
have
didn't get
won there. I
anything.
remember Solly March scored a
Yeah, but
winner.
I'm
Yeah,
just
it was
thinking.
lockdown, maybe. That was weird. That was all
And
weird. That Villa beat Liverpool 7-0 that season.
yeah.
So, come on.
Yeah. Everything's in
Okay,
context.
moving on to January then. And we got the year underway with a draw at the Amex against Arsenal. Our FA Cup campaign got underway at Carrow Road, where goals from Jorginho, Julio Enciso's only goal for us this season, and one for Solly March saw us into the next round. An East Anglian double followed with a 2-0 win at Ipswich, and then another customary win at Old Trafford before losing at home to Everton. So, the FA Cup, a lovely game at Carrow Road, 4-0. And I was very sad to see Julio carted off to Ipswich, really. But it was, and obviously he did score in that game. I mean, two of our stars of last season both ended up going to teams that were relegated. It's a bit sad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, timing's everything, isn't it? I mean, Nsiso got injured at a really bad time for his career, and other players had come in his position and found himself squeezed out once he was able to be up and running again. Did enjoy that Norwich game. That was a really nice sort of away day. That
Was good,
that was a fun day, and
wasn't
it was a decent performance, and it was like, a nice taking care of business type performance, of which we're really only starting to do now. Whereas before we might have made a meal of it or something like that, but it was pretty comfortable, and good fun.
And not spoilt by VAR.
And not spoilt by
Because
VAR.
let's
Because
face
Solly's
it,
goal would have been offside. So,
exactly. And
but
this is the point you're making here. I do get the point you're making here is that I mean the offside line has to go all the way across the pitch, but you look how far away from the goal Solly March was when the pass was made. You think, is that really what offside is for? Of course the answer is yes, it is. It's been involved since the day one of football. But yeah, like I say, well, to be honest, the difference between 3-0 and 4-0 when you're going through in the FA Cup probably doesn't make a huge amount of difference. So
And the game against Arsenal was an entertaining affair. I can't remember too much about it, to be honest, but it was
well, Declan Rice didn't get sent off. Sorry, we haven't talked about that enough today, actually. I mean, because, like I say, I mean, I know it was a funny thing, and I remember I was sitting next to you in the press box, Aidy, and I couldn't 100% see what was going on, and I
Well,
know
it looked like
it
Joel had actually
he'd
kicked him,
lamped
didn't
in,
he?
hadn't he? Yeah, and obviously it's on the opposite side of the pitch to where the away fans were, and he saw this red card being brandished, but it's not that; it's the bitching, the whining, the grizzling of the Arsenal fans afterwards. Oh,
Yeah.
and since they haven't belted up about it. I mean, heaven forfend that we ever become like that.
Well, it could happen.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, if it does, I'll stick an Arsenal shirt on, so stop me from doing so.
Well, all I would say, I take your point completely, Al, on that one. But something that I think when you see these things, and if you follow the social media commentary on these things, what you realise if you sort of, go down into the granularity of it, oh, that's a big word for me. I think I know what it means. You've just got to factor in the fact that there are millions of people around the world watching Arsenal play. There are a few hundred thousand around the world watching Brighton play. So
Absolutely.
it's kind of, yes, it seemed like there was this outpouring of objection to what happened, but it's only because there's more of them, a lot more of them than there are of Brighton fans defending it. So, and I
Absolutely.
think that goes the same with any when any of those frankly huge clubs, Arsenal, Chelsea, United, etc., when something happens, factor this in: Manchester United sell more replica shirts every week than Brighton have ever sold in their time in the Premier League.
I can well believe
Statistics like that, you've got to factor that in.
that.
I kind of made that up a bit, but it's not far from the truth. But
Right.
the thing is there are so many supporters of those teams. It's such a massive majority compared to the other. So sometimes.
How can I be so dumb though? Because they're all saying, "Oh, he got a red card for that."
You
Well,
never
have
met a
they
dumb
not
Brighton
realised that
fan?
two yellows equals a red?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
That's the point I'm making.
I think the referee on that
it was
instance
funny.
made a perfect call.
It was
Absolutely.
funny. It was funny as was beating Man United at Old Trafford again, and a comfortable win as a
Without
comfortable
Pascal
always go.
Gross.
Absolutely.
Oh,
Absolutely.
yeah. Good
But
point.
okay. Well, February was a bit another.
Must
Well,
we?
a shocking start to February as we and our one-man midfield were well and truly humbled at Forest. But that was pretty bad. But two wins in a week over Chelsea certainly improved the mood, as did a trip along the coast to doomed Southampton in a game where we should probably have won 10-0. The month finished with a pulsating game at the Amex, where Danny Welbeck's late goal saw us edge past Bournemouth. So obviously we're not. Forest, it happened. Move on. Like Fabian Hurtsellers and his Bic lighter. That's gone up in smoke. We moved on. Actually, after that is how we reacted, and we actually pre reacted pretty well.
We did. I really enjoyed that Chelsea game.
Which one?
Sorry, no, I'm talking about the cup game because that was a good response. Because it was all a bit, not doom and gloom, but it was it was a good lift, and certainly when Chelsea went 1-0 up early, and it went through Bart's legs or whatever, like, here we go again. But actually, it wasn't. Then Jorginho scored that great header. And then obviously when we then scored the winner, fantastic. That was a real pick me up, actually. We had such a hard bloody cup draw compared to that lot up the road, didn't we? Bloody hell. We get bloody Millwall and Stockport or someone and Doncaster or whatever
Yeah,
it is.
we ended up with Norwich, Chelsea,
Yeah, Newcastle.
Newcastle,
And
Forest.
Forest, who were fourth at that point and were probably the form team of the division at that point when we played them. I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, and Palace, get Villa in the semi-final, who are sort of, on their Champions League leg, so they're very leggy. And then obviously, and then obviously we know what happened in the final against Man City when Haaland bottled it. So there you go. Anyway,
And that was
moving
me. And that was me worrying about Phil being a grump.
Hey, listen, I'm not grumpy because I tell you now, I have not seen one moment of that FA Cup final this
No,
season. I've seen
haven't. I have
nothing
no
at all.
intention. I haven't seen any
I'm fine.
footage. I just know Haaland bottled a penalty because apparently he'd never scored at Wembley before. Some other rubbish that he came out with and gave it that other idiot Marouche. I mean, what are you thinking? You anyway.
So,
Moving
anyway,
on
so
from
the
obviously
Chelsea game,
we
moving on
did
from the
we.
Chelsea game, we've got then the Chelsea again, our visitors in residence, another 8 o'clock kickoff. I mean, don't get me wrong about the FA, don't get me started about the FA Cup, 8 o'clock Friday night. And something that could have carried on through till 2 in the morning. Thankfully didn't. But let's face it, there was a little bit, no, there was a lot of magic the following game, wasn't there?
Yeah, and to be honest, I think it's like very underrated as an achievement, having already humbled Chelsea the previous week, to then go and do it again and do it in even more style
Oh yes.
was just magnificent. And obviously the goal, as it is now known, Mitoma, total rude word. And I was watching a lot of the goals today, and like we scored quite a lot of a wide variety of goals. There were not we did do a few route ones. We did do some fancy damn, end-to-end passing moves, and we did get a few scrappy little buggers as well. So it's a nice variety of goal. Well, this one was just like out on its own. It's like, what did I even just see that? I mean, there was like. I don't think anyone could actually believe it. And then obviously remember being on the concourse, seeing it on the screens, and then just like the collective intake of breath as the slow motion beautifully showed in exquisite detail the quality of touch from Mitoma. But I just really like the way that that Chelsea game, even though obviously, Potter's not there anymore, but Caicedo and Kukurea are there. Kukurea's just like your dream pantomime villain,
Oh,
and
yes.
Sanchez. Don't forget Sanchez.
and Sanchez as well. But who really cares about him? I mean, the Chelsea fans were booing him more than we were. But Cucurella is great because Cucurella played. He joins in
He
because
does. He's the new. He's the
he gets the
star,
ump.
isn't he?
He
He's
gets the ump. He gets
the
upset. We
backup
get under his skin.
man.
He it clearly bothered. I mean, it is just brilliant, and it.
Sanchez wasn't playing in the league game, was he?
No, he
Yeah.
wasn't,
No, he
no.
didn't. No, to be fair, he was in the cup. But I mean,
Okay.
you're right, Andy. Cucurella is our new Zaha. He is the proper panto villain. He really is the panto villain, and there's that photo of him, isn't he? And I can't remember if it's the third goal there, is it, or is it? Or it might have been against the Chelsea Cup game. I mean, they do merge into one a little bit where here he is in the back of the net trying to stop the goal, and he's sort of like caught up in the net or whatever, his
Very
stupid
runs to the
toe.
referee.
Well, speaking of pantomime villains, I've got one for us, and he actually plays for us. And this was a lovely day out in Southampton, Andy. Sorry,
Nice.
Yeah.
actually, before you get onto that, sorry, I do have to mention this, that when you're talking about, I just want to finalise this bit about Cucurella. I'm so glad that the club put it in their end of season montage of that little moment where Veltman absolutely wiped him out.
Oh
Cleaned him out. Sorry,
Southampton, carry on.
Yeah, so it was a lovely trip down the coast to, well, it wasn't a nice trip because that train was an absolute bloody nightmare. But
Left
that's another
the
story. But
train.
we ended up winning up at 4-0. It could and probably should have actually been 10. And
They were
Jankuba
rubbish.
Well,
Minteh.
man of the match, Ramsdale made sure that it wasn't, but
I mean, there was one. I mean, it was complete Devon Lock, wasn't it?
yeah.
I mean, he just clean through and goal, and his legs just collapsed like one of those wonky donkey things.
No, it's
It
because he wouldn't use his right foot. Yeah.
it was just. Oh, anyway, we won 4-0.
It was really, it was a, that was a, that was a, that was a fun watch. I
Yeah.
mean,
What did you?
we played with great freedom. We did, we did win convincingly. I really
Scored the
like
same goal a few times.
yeah, I really like, well, yeah, I mean, Pedro and Mittema just like scored the same goal. It was just sweet.
Yeah.
Really, really good finishes as well, actually.
Yeah.
To like just dink it over Ramsdale. He was unbelievable. It's one of
He
the best
was brilliant,
keeping
brilliant.
performances
He
I've
kept the
seen.
scoreline sensible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the new away end. The
and
new
then the
away end
month.
at Southampton's great.
But then the month finished with another contender for game of the season, which was a win over Bournemouth at the Amex. I mean, late wins are always fun, aren't they? But this game was like pulsating. It was end to end. Both teams trying to play, actually trying to play football, which is the point of the game, believe it or not. And it was great.
Wasn't
Yeah,
I think also as well, didn't Gomez played at least I think he played first off. He played the majority of that game, didn't he? I think that was one of his first. I mean, he might have come on against Southampton,
he
but certainly
started. He started, yeah.
Yeah,
72 minutes. He looked really good that game.
Yeah, he looked
It's like,
fantastic.
oh,
And
good to have
he's
you.
a player which I'm really excited about for next
Yeah.
season, actually. But okay, and then into March, then another trip to Newcastle got the month underway, and Danny Welbeck's injury time winner set up a home quarter final against Forest. João Pedro's last minute penalty saw us finally beat Fulham, and then we should probably have done better at City, drawing 2-2. Our FA Cup dreams ended on penalties against Forest after drawing 0-0 after extra time. The trip to Newcastle, that. Again, VAR actually did help us out on that one because it was I can't remember who scored their goal in the last minute of normal time. It,
See, Gordon always called
no, it
one
wasn't.
offside.
It was Shah, but it
Was
got
it?
disallowed.
Yes. Well, that's the nature of VAR, I suppose. Like I say, because in the FA Cup, in the earlier rounds, they didn't have it, and yet this time they did. Yeah, Dem's the brakes, I'm afraid. And yeah, he clearly was offside, but Dem's the brakes. What I actually one of the aftermath, and let's face it, we'll talk about the Albion progressing, but one of the aftermath things I do remember about this is the Newcastle fans going on to their respective, sort of citizen
Forums.
reporter thing and absolutely going mad at Anthony Gordon for being basically a complete pillock.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
Well, he is the queen of all our hearts.
he is, but I mean, let's face it, the game had stopped. The referee had blown the whistle for an offside or a foul. I can't remember which. And then he proceeded to lamp Van Hecke around the back of the head. Let's face it, it wasn't Mike Tyson. And you could see Gordon laughing at him, and his face just turned from sort of arrogant glee to unbelieved contempt when he saw the red card come out. It was like, I don't know, his hair. You know those 70s things where the hair things and the colours change on the end of them.
Right,
Like these big
Dealey
wigs.
boppers.
Sorry?
Dealey boppers,
No,
is
I'm
that what they're
thinking these
called?
things you have in your front room, and they're kind of like these hairy, spiky things, and the colours change as they go. That was Anthony Gordon's hair.
Huh?
I
No,
wonder where
okay.
you were going with
I still have no
that,
idea
but you
what
mean
you're
like a Van
talking
de Graaff generator?
I don't know what they're called.
Something like
But
that. But
what?
it's lovely to beat Fulham finally because it's like we never do in the Premier League. And another late show, last minute penalty from João Pedro.
Who doesn't miss?
It was which was nice, and obviously the disappointment. I mean, another day that we should have beaten Forest. I mean, it was
Just wasn't a good game, was it?
no, not an awful lot actually happened, but I mean, what as soon as it got to penalties, they just looked a lot more confident than we did, and Jack Hinchwood, there's a reason he didn't take the penalty at Spurs in the last game of the season, because he can't take a penalty, I
I
think.
forgot he missed that penalty, actually. I wondered why he wouldn't take it for his hat trick. But well remembered.
Okay.
I'm not
Should we?
convinced that's the reason, to be honest. They do have a selected pecking order. Of course, there was no Welbeck on the pitch. There was no Pedro on the pitch. There was no Dunk on the pitch, and he takes a decent penalty. They have a pecking order, and even if someone's on a hat trick, then no, you do it professionally.
Well, Matt O'Reilly only just come on as well. So, but anyway,
Yeah.
okay. Let's just moving on to April then, and our dreams of achieving Europe again were hampered by April's return of 4 points from 5 games, losing at home to Villa, letting Palace do the double over us, drawing at home to Leicester, getting humped at Brentford before a late winner from Carlos Baleba saw us beat West Ham. Not a great month, and that's probably what did for us really in terms of finishing higher up the table. I don't really want to dwell too much on any of those, really.
Well, I'll dwell on the West Ham game. That was brilliant.
Yeah, the West Ham game was awesome, and
up yours, Mr. Graham Potter. Sorry, Alan, I might
like
have to
when
edit
yeah, I
that
mean again,
one.
like the pantomime, the other pantomime villain returns, and once again returns, exits with his tail firmly between his legs, and like especially after we'd kind of thrown the game away, and like we go, what's it? 2-1 down with like on by 80 minutes, and then Mittema, we get like the lifeline of Mittema's sort of equaliser. But then to there's last minute goals that win you games, and there's that one
Yeah, absolutely.
when you pick the ball up 30 yards out, and then you just literally leave the keeper frozen to the spot.
And
It
it's not as though he
was like
smashed
a
it either.
celebration,
It just
which is.
happened in slow motion, though. It was just weird.
Oh,
And also,
there
let's
was
not
that
forget
sharp
how.
intake of breath as you could see the ball heading towards the net, and you're thinking, well, this is going into row Z.
I'm thinking, what's the keeper doing? Why? I thought because the keeper wasn't even moving, I thought a whistle must have gone early or something.
On both of those goals, Ayari's first, because that was bloody good as
Yeah, that
well.
was a brilliant goal.
And everyone was saying shoot, and he did, and then Belieber as well saying shoot, and he did. So it's all down to me, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course it
Okay.
is.
Okay, well let's just move on to May, and then we can move on to our predictions. So we ended the season strongly, drawing with Newcastle and then winning our last 3 games at Wolves, beating the champions Liverpool, and ruining Spurs' Europa League party, which was always fun. So I mean the Spurs game obviously finished up the season strongly, ruining their party. Lovely to see Chris Hughton and Lewis Dunk at the end as well. That was delightful seeing those two. I mean he was right in front of me, and basically as soon as they saw each other, both of their faces lit up like a Christmas tree. It was wonderful. It was
You say right in front of you. I thought that the press box was up in the gods.
yeah, well, it was right in front of me from like the screen
Oh, I see.
that I was looking at.
Okay.
But
Depends on
it
which
was, yeah, no, it
fans.
was just in front of me, but you could see it telegraphed. It was like, yeah, it was great. But yeah, I mean, that was, I'm kind of just to play devil's advocate here. I mean, if I was a Spurs fan, which obviously clearly we're not, the Spurs fans were there for a party, right? They just won their first trophy for God knows however long, and they're there for a party. They've all got their flags and they're all up for it. And with all due respect to Brighton, that we know what we are. We know where our limitations are sometimes. That you're playing against us, and you've got 30% possession. It doesn't even bear thinking about. They didn't even try.
Well, to
So I
be
mean, you
honest,
can only
if
beat
they,
what
yeah,
you put
but
in
if
front of
they
you.
just think if they'd have lost, it would have been even worse for them. If they'd have lost against Man U in that final, I think they'd have been even worse.
Oh, they would
Yeah,
have been.
they
They
would have
would have
been
been.
so much funnier. It was already pretty funny, but it
Yeah.
would have been much funnier.
I'm with Andy on that.
if they were
And
all yelling for Ange's head. And actually, as we were walking away from the ground, because it was actually quite easy to get away from this time. But we did actually meet a very angry Spurs fan who he said, "I'm not hanging around to cheer that up." In what, you know,
he said, "Imagine having to watch that every week," but he used some other words in
he did,
between those
yes,
words.
not for a family broadcast,
yeah,
but
not a family.
okay. And before that was arguably the game of the season with us beating Liverpool.
Well, if you're going to say that, Eddie, then ask the question directly.
Okay, was that the game of the season?
No.
Nah.
Okay, who's going first on that one? And say what your game of the season was.
Are we doing game of the
Me?
season now, are we?
Yeah.
Let's
Okay.
just bring that
First.
forward, yeah.
Will I go first?
Go.
Yes, I'll go first and then I'll shut up. I actually, my game of the season is going to be the West Ham home game because I thought that was brilliant in the fact that I have no time for Graham Potter whatsoever. He left with his tail between his legs. I already scored a brilliant goal, as Andy said, about Matoma's equaliser after West Ham had sort of like turned the corner and nudged themselves ahead, and then Belieber scored his wonderful. Wonderful goal in the last minute to send everybody home happy. And I'm going to say that is the first time this season where I actually thought, okay, Fabian, you have another chance with me, because he actually showed some passion and emotion, because I was interested to watch him against the Leicester game and other games where he just sat there in a dugout and did nothing. I'm not a Mr. Histrionics like De Zerbi where you have to run up and down the touchline, but I've noticed a lot of managers do their coaching from the touchline these days. A lot of them do, and they don't stay sat down, which Hörsler did a lot before that West Ham game. And that West Ham game, he was animated. And then since that West Ham game, he's been doing it every game thereafter. So for me, even though I did have a downer on him, and I still have a little bit of a downer on him, as Brett pointed out, and it took Brett to point it out, that actually that's the first time I've probably actually warmed to him. Instead of him quoting his "We must trust the process" from his book, I can quote from a book. I've got a book of quotes here. I can do that. It actually turned the corner for me slightly. So for me, West Ham is the game of the season.
Yeah. Okay, Philip, what was your game of the season?
Chelsea in the Premier League at home, 3-0.
In the league game with the Carew goal. And why that one for you?
I think, yeah, we've all got the teams that we hate, to coin a phrase. And I just think I've never got over what went on 2 seasons ago. I've never passed. It's not gone past me yet. The whole Potter leaving, the decimation of our excellent squad by a bullying organisation that have just got more money than sense. I hope they get found out soon. I hope they're going to get in some bother with their various misdemeanors. Can't bear the football. Listen, I've got friends who are Chelsea fans. Yeah, they're my mates, and they're Chelsea fans. It's not their fault, but they are. They're not going to change. But that organisation is so hateful to me. When we humped them second time in a week, I was delighted, and I loved the game as well. And obviously, there's one particular moment in it, but for me, it was the whole game. And you know what Andy was saying is when we got down to the concourse afterwards and saw the goal. To be honest with you, the goal happened like in a blink of an eye, almost. I thought, yeah, it's a great goal. And then they showed the replays on the screen, and you're looking at it thinking, well, it's probably a really great goal, but it was just a goal. We were beating Chelsea, and that's all that mattered to me. And then when we saw it afterwards, and then they're doing the super slow-mos and all that, and suddenly you think, oh, that was so much better than it looked in real time.
Yeah.
So for me, that game of the season. Thank you.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Andy, your game of the season, please.
Oh, you know what? I am going to say the Liverpool game. There are a lot of honourable mentions, but the one caveat is people were saying Liverpool were on the beach. I actually thought Liverpool played pretty well in that game, and they made us work for it. But I thought it was a re it was I just it was just a really fun game to watch. The goals were all excellent. You know, we have no fear when we play them, and like I love the games against Liverpool are just always entertaining. It's like that's probably the one game that I would choose to go to every season, just because I think I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, I've seen them beat us 5-1 and actually still quite enjoyed it because they were really good. So yeah, it was just brilliant. It was a feast, a festival of all that's good about football. It was just like, just a good, fun game. Two teams going at it. There was still something in it for us, maybe not nothing in it for them, which probably was the edge for us in that game. But yeah, terrific.
Yeah,
Loved
Alan,
it.
would you agree?
Absolutely. What Andy said. And what about you?
I was taught. I mean, I did. I absolutely love the Liverpool game. I mean, it seems like a very, very obvious thing to say, but both teams were trying to play football.
Was
It,
your
which in a
missus
football
talking to you
match is
afterwards?
amazing. But I mean, generally speaking, we always do tend to play better against teams that aren't coming to park the bus. So when an open game comes out, so I mean, I will say that with an honourable mention of the Brentford game for exactly the same reasons. Both teams were trying to win the game. Both teams were really going for it. Both goalkeepers would have to make saves.
Sorry,
And
which
then
Brentford? Hang on, which Brentford game are you talking
this
about?
was the one at home.
Right. Even
No,
though
sorry, the
Brentford,
Bournemouth game. Sorry, it was Bournemouth, I said.
I was going to say Brentford
I
was
was about to say
0-0.
Brentford 0-0 was a bit of a
Yeah,
dirge.
no, it wasn't that one. That was another 0-0 there, Andy.
Yeah, mostly notable for the fact that Pedro should have been sent off for a flying elbow.
Yeah,
No,
but he was sent off in that one, wasn't he?
no, no, no.
The
He was
home
sent
game.
off up there, but
Oh
he should have
yeah.
been sent off down here. Again, VAR should have picked it up. Maybe that's what you're talking about with the Bournemouth game, but certainly it was at the Brentford game at
Yeah.
home where
Yeah,
he.
and obviously again, the comeback against Spurs that in the home game was great as well. I really, really enjoyed that. And it's just when those games where going in at 2-0 down, and you've got Maddison like doing his throwing dart thing celebration, and it's like we thought, oh, we're doomed here, and we come out with the second half. And actually, quite often this season, second half we've been really much better than first half, which is like if we could actually do this for a whole 90 minutes, that'd be amazing.
Basically, like that second half, we took the dartboard and smashed it around his head.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was just nice to see them sad and
Okay.
come
So,
home
what sort of game
with the
of
3 points.
the season
Well,
are they? And actually, as a
So, with all
stat, sorry, go on. Go on, Marcus.
I was just going to say, so, Amy, with all of that, what's your game of the season?
Yeah, which one was your game of the season?
I did say Liverpool,
Like Liverpool. Okay.
but with the caveat of the others. But
No, no caveats.
okay. So as a season, then a total of 20 wins, 15 draws, and 10 defeats, finishing our second best ever with 61 points. Goal scorers, first time in the top flight history, three players in double figures. So we're with Pedro, Welbeck, and Mitoma all on 10 now. But what did we say who was going to be the top scorer at the beginning of the
We've spread
season?
our with what's happened, we've spread our bets here, haven't we?
Basically, we all said exactly the same thing, actually.
Way.
The top goal scorer, we said Pedro. So then we started discussing who's going to be the second best, and yeah, that didn't go well. But Pedro was he was joint top scorer, so we all get a point for that one.
Hey.
And okay, pre-season, we asked how many goals are we going to score? Now, one person
Was
was one away.
this league or league and
This
co?
was all competitions.
Oh, okay.
So one person was miles out, which was you, Al. You said 96 in all competitions.
Was only 13 out.
Yeah. Andy, Marcus, actually, you said we're going to score 90 in all competitions. Andy, you said 87, but 60 in the league. So you're not far off on the league one, because we're 66. I said we were going to score 79 goals in all competitions, but one person was one out. And that was Mr. Phil Shelley, who
Oh,
said we would score 82 goals this season.
well done.
Aha.
I would have been, but I would have been right if actually Minté had learnt to shoot against Southampton.
There you go. Yeah,
Well,
learning balls, granddads.
I'm
Well,
very happy with that.
but another question that we asked
actually, before
was,
you go on to that, AD, I just want to say about the goals scored thing.
yeah.
66 in the league is our second highest in the top division ever.
Yes.
Just second, obviously, behind 2 years ago where we scored 72.
Yeah.
Having said that, our goals against is the third worst.
That makes sense.
Co figure. So 59
That
we
makes sense. Yeah.
conceded.
Well,
But having said that, 9 defeats in the league is the fewest ever.
two of those to Palace. Just saying.
Two of those to Palace. But
Yes.
I can
Anyway.
also say in that case, but we also doubled Man United, Bournemouth, and Spurs.
Exactly. Teams we should beat. There you go. Moving on.
Okay, well, and we had a new category for this year because we did, and we came up with who was going to get the most assists after losing
Ooh.
Pascal Gross,
That's a good one.
and so can you remember what you all said?
I can't even remember the fact you asked the question.
Well, there you go. So, Phil, you do not get any points on this one.
Who did I say?
You said Julio Enciso.
No,
Right.
I blame Hertzler.
Yeah.
And
Good
like Marcus and Al, you both said Carew.
Oh. Okay.
And Andy, you said Minté.
Nice.
And I said Dingra.
And the
Because
answer is
the answer is João Pedro.
yes.
Oh, well,
Minta
there
second, though.
So yeah, so with the assist, let's have a look. I've got the list here. So yeah, he was Jao was the top of the assist with 6. He was followed by Gruda with 4,
you
Carew with 4, Danny with 4, and Mats Wiefer with 4.
okay. Matt Sweeper, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, because one of them was a goal against Wolves, wasn't it, when we were 2-1 up and he decided to assist their
Oh.
goal.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. But okay, so player of the season. Basically, three of you said the same person. Two of us said two different people. I said Mats Wiefer, because I was very impressed with him pre-season. I thought he was going to go on and have a great season. Didn't quite work out for him, but I think the signs are there that he is going to be a much better mover and shaker for us next season. Sometimes it takes time to settle. Andy, you said João Pedro to be player of the season, which is a stupid answer. Striker never wins it. But three of you, so that's Phil and Al and Marcus, you all said John-Paul Van Hekker. And who
Really?
got and who won it? It was John-Paul Van
Hey, there
Hekker.
you
Okay, and on to the interesting wild card section. Now,
go.
again, I have no idea what I said.
well, Al, you said, and this was really, you really went out on a limb here, I've got to say. I mean, the chances of this actually happening in our team where we've got no Dutch players whatsoever. Is you said one of the top three in the player of the season awards will be Dutch. Winner.
That's just a
So
rubbish wild card.
that is just absolutely
Stupid. That's called
that's
hedging
just
your
playing the
bets. I'm
percentages
surprised
there.
we allowed it.
That's like Sam Allardyce playing
And Marcus
the
and Phil, you both said the same thing.
What, he'd be Dutch?
No, you
Oh,
said a goalkeeper will score a goal.
there you go. Well, there you are.
Well, they've got a very good assist.
Yeah,
True, actually.
but I mean, Phil, you got confused. I mean, you said because Marcus went first. Oh, I was going to say that, and you said still to play 15 games as well, which is it also didn't happen. Andy Bass, your prediction went out the window in September
That is nil-nil.
when we drew nil-nil with Ipswich because you said that there will be no nil-nils. Unfortunately, there was more than one.
That about two or
And
three, wasn't that?
so there was Ipswich. Obviously, I mean, the
Brentford at
Forest
home.
game was a nil-nil, but that was in the cup.
And
There
Brentford
was a
at home.
couple.
It's Brentford at home.
Brentford, yeah, went on Enciso
That's.
went on a rampage, desperate to score and just couldn't.
Yeah, that's it, actually. I'm looking at the thing now. That's it.
Yeah,
I was
two nil nil.
nil-nil.
Yeah,
What was your two games out?
yeah, and I said, and unfortunately, I was wrong. Also, I said that we'd get to a final, and maybe we probably should have done, but that is another story. But
Yeah, but we can say that every time, but we should now that we're a top eight club, we should, well, in theory, we should get to the quarter final each time anyway. That's the so goes the theory.
So
Did you want to, is that it for our pre-season predictions
that's
turned
the
rubbish?
pre-season. That's the pre-season ones.
Well, I'm delighted I got two right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
well,
not too bad. Yeah.
Andy normally is like on fire, but he must try harder next year, Andy, I think. But it's
Yeah.
but okay. But I mean, one of the we I've asked everyone to we've already done the game of the season, but we also asked everyone that's been on the show this season for their player of the season. And how'd it go, Al?
I was going to say predictable, actually not necessarily, not in the minor places. Van Hecke coasted it. Absolutely coasted it. What I do is I ask everyone who's been on the show this season to name their top three, and not just in random, they're specifically one, two, three. And some of the emails I get back, you can see the convulsions they're going through in order to come up with their top three. Everyone voted for Van Hecke, whether first, second, or third.
I
Everyone
didn't.
You did.
I didn't vote for Van Hecker.
Yes, you did.
Not at all.
I've got
I've
your note here. It's yes, you
got
did.
it here as well, actually.
Yeah. In second place, along with the official player of the season, absolutely Carlos Baleba. And this is where it differs from
Oh, yeah, it
the
is.
this is I know. This is where it differs from the official one. We had Kaoru Mitoma in a very strong third position, with Danny Welbeck and Georginio Rutter quite a distant equal fourth. Go figure, who knows? I didn't ask for any reasons, although some people did give reasons. And then in the minor places after that, the next one on the list was Jack Hinshelwood. So so Van Hecke and Belieber certainly took the top two spaces, like in the official vote, but it was Matoma rather than Welbeck in third.
Okay, and Marcus, did you go for JP as your? Oh, you
I
did
think I
predict it
did.
pre-season. Did you go for him as your player of the season?
At the end of the season, yes, I think I'm sure Alan will confirm, but
Yes, you did.
yeah, there you go. Yeah, good. Yes,
And
I did.
Phil, you as well?
I think Jan Poole, you're just brilliant, or so consistent all the way through. But for me, my favourite player of the season, if you like, is Jan Kuba Minte. I just think he's just. I just so hope he stays with us and doesn't get sent out on loan. I just love watching him play football.
I think the
You might
number
be.
of times he started for us, everything would scream that he's not going out on loan. I mean,
Yeah, I
he's a
agree.
kind of a comedy player, isn't he? He can either be brilliant or.
Just a delight. I just love watching him play football. So,
I at the beginning of the season, I described Jan Kuba on the pre-season show. Hang on, I've just got to try and find the quote here.
Paolo Wanchope. There you go. That's
Do
it.
bear in
Pre
mind, he's. Pre-season, I described Minte as an enigma waiting to be an annoyance, waiting to be a hero.
Well, I think he's
And
been
I
all
have,
three of
there's
those, and
nothing to change my opinion on that
scoring twice against
whatsoever.
Chelsea was pretty good for me. So there we go.
Yes, and twice putting Belieber, not Belieber, Cucurella on his backside
I
for
love him. I think he's great. That's it.
Andy?
Yeah, my player was John Paul Van Heck.
Yeah.
And
Like I
yours as
say,
well, wasn't it?
it's the minor places that
Yeah.
vary. Like I say, within first, second, and third, everyone voted for Van Hecke.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I did not vote for Jay Pearce, my number one.
no, not your number one, no.
No, I basically, and I'm a bit concerned about my player of the season because I suspect that he's being courted elsewhere at the moment. But
Listen,
my,
they all are.
yeah, but Kaoru Mitoma, he's lightning in a bottle. He's something. That would came on against Spurs in the second half sub at half time, and he just basically completely changed the game. And every time he's just a game changer, and he's just become so important. I just I can't even think of like going on without him,
And yet,
to be honest.
weirdly enough, I would say this. I mean, obviously, he scored against Everton on the opening day of the season, but until he scored that world against Chelsea, I thought he was actually having a bit of a mediocre season until then.
Yeah,
They
okay,
scored 10 goals. double
Well,
figures.
great, but my point is that he wasn't the player that we know he could have been. There was holding 20% back. I know he'd had an injury, and fast players do hold themselves back a bit, but he was, until such time as that Chelsea game, and the confidence, it's almost like the confidence switch was turned on. Then after that, like I say, virtually unplayable.
Right, Andy, what was your highlight of the season?
Really difficult, but I'm going to say Veltman getting Declan Rice a second yellow card is
I hope there's viewers listening to this.
because I'm still laughing about it today, and there's so much actual football stuff that it's impossible to choose, but that moment just stood out on its own as something to be uniquely enjoyed for many more years to come. So,
Philip, go on. Philip is flicking V's at everybody now.
well,
So,
that was my highlight as well.
Yay, great minds.
Although I did have a backup highlight in case of Andy,
go on.
and it was just basically City away the whole game, except for Belieber at the end. But just getting a point there, finally getting that monkey off the back.
I mean, that was a
Brilliant.
game that we haven't mentioned as game as possible
That
game
was
of the season, is
one
it?
of my highlights as well. There you go.
It was, and the belaboured chance at the end. Oh God, should have buried it. Marcus, what was your highlight of the season?
Highlight of the season is Dick Knight and Tony Bloom kissing and making up.
Good shout.
Finally, after all these years, we all know what's gone on. Let's not dwell on it. But the fact that they've shaken hands and clearly buried whatever hatchets they had between them this season, and and we can now go forward properly, was to me probably the highlight of the season, without question. Generally speaking, if you want me to talk about the football team, I'm not going to, because I've had more downers than ups, to be fair, on them this season. But as I say, that for me, seeing them at that, award when they've shaken hands and clearly buried the hatchet, was wonderful to see, and that really warmed the cockles. So,
Alan.
Well, I'm going to say, I've mentioned it already. I'm going to mention basically Veltman sticking Cucurella not just in his pocket, but all the way down his trousers and trying to shake him out again, including absolutely taking him out and then watching him whine like a banshee wailing at the moon. I'm going to say, obviously, there's the probably more so than the Spurs turnaround. I'm going to say the Liverpool sort of winner from Hinch on account of the fact that it was pretty much last minute. Yes, Liverpool on the beach. Yes, it was. There's other highlights, I'm sure. I was delighted, for instance, Solly March getting his goal. That was a highlight. In fact, just Solly March coming back onto the pitch at all, and frankly showing more than once, showing
Well,
Inté how to do it. But yeah, of particular highlights, obviously there's a goal of the season. Incidentally, are you going to ask us again in a minute for goal of the season, or do you think you've covered it?
I don't think we need to cover that. I
Okay,
think
because
we
the
all
other
know.
goal of the, there is actually one other goal of the season contender I do want to have, and that's our consolation goal at home to Crystal Palace. What a goal!
Quite
Basically,
brilliant.
smashed by the defender off the line onto another defender and trickled over the line. I
That's
mean,
why I
you
can't
can't
remember
write
it.
comedy like that.
Okay, well, my highlight, you just actually mentioned it there, Al. And it was, and you actually mentioned the reason as well. And it was actually that Solly March's goal, regardless of the fact whether it was onside or not. But the fact that, Solly's he's a Brighton legend. He's an absolute hero, isn't he? And the fact that he had to learn how to run again, the fact that he actually, that injury really could have been career ending for him. And the fact he actually not only got himself fit, but he actually got himself back out on the pitch again. And the fact that putting that in the back of the net, it was just like it was such a solid finish as well. And it was that was my highlight because I mean I love Solly and it's like I really hope that he's just have another operation, hasn't he? So I'm hoping that we can see more of him last season. But that in the one game that he actually did start this season, he was really good as well.
Well, the one game actually, can I? You've just reminded me of another highlight. I cannot believe I overlooked this. It was a game that Solly March did start, and we beat Crystal Palace 10-0. Who says it has to be the first team? You
That's
know,
true.
listen,
That's
whether
true.
it's the first team, the under 21s, the women, the Kaplunk team, the Connect Four team, I don't care. If you're going to beat Crystal Palace 10-0, it's worth having a couple of beers over.
Yeah.
So that was a highlight of the season.
And finally, guys, unsung hero. Now, this can be a player. It could be a back room staff. It could be who some.
I'll start if that's all right.
Yeah.
My unsung hero, I mean, he's not so much an unsung hero, but it's been noticeable this season, the results with him and without him. As we know, bless him, but Lewis has himself hasn't had the best season this year, and you know, there is
You're
chat
not
that
going to
maybe
say what I think you're going to say, Marcus,
he
because
is.
I mean, we need
No, it's,
this.
the worm has turned here, hasn't it?
I am going to say it because, you know, I am not steadfast in my opinion. I am open to, you know, open to change. I'm not sort of some reform voter that will only vote reform, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I am, you know, I regard myself as fair-minded, which is why I'm prepared to give FH another chance. But it's the shirt that Phil's got in the background at the moment with the number four on it. And that is Adam Webster. Because actually, this season, when he's come in, he's done absolutely brilliantly. Normally takes him about four games to get up to speed, but not this season. He's covered magnificently. He's come in, he's been absolutely brilliant. And the results have actually spoken for themselves when he's been in the team. So, you
Fair
know,
point.
that can't be ignored, to be honest. So he's my unsung hero of
Okay.
this season, Adam Webster. There you
Yeah.
go. You heard
There you go.
it here first.
Cheers.
Yeah,
Now,
cheers.
when I've picked my jaw off the floor, I'm going to ask Andy Bass the same question.
Well, again, this is quite a difficult one because I think most people are actually sung about. I think people have had their contributions recognised. My unsung hero is a bizarre one, but I'm going to give it to Fabian Hertzler.
Oh, you rat bag. I was gonna. Oh my God.
Because,
Oh
and never let it be said that we're just like all of the same mind on this show.
God.
We do have our own opinions, and
I just want to see Marcus's 180 on this.
we can we can all disagree on things. So,
Yeah.
but I think he's been absolutely terrific. I think the job he's done with the cards that he's been dealt has been pretty extraordinary. He's come from the second division of Germany to play to manage in the Premier League, and just like how our inexperienced players will always need time to sort of get up to speed of the Premier League, that's the same for managers as well. I mean, I mean, regardless of how well he did at St. Pauli, which you sort of got an idea of his philosophy and stuff, but that will only get you so far when you come up against the quality of opponent that you have in the Premier League compared to the Bundesliga 2. And I just think and he's been adaptable. He's had massive he's had massive disappointments on the injury front, which he's not moaned about once. He's had some difficult games. He had the Chelsea game, which he got a lot of stick for, was able to respond to it. Obviously, the Forest debacle, which is just beyond nonsense, that game. And again, the response to that was like six wins on the spin. He's been adaptable. He's very good at making in-game changes. We've scored more goals with substitutes than anybody else, or one of the best teams at it. He's been on a learning curve. He's not afraid to admit it. Also, I really like the way that he's pushed the players, and you could see maybe some of those early sort of rough games. The players kind of weren't buying into what he was doing. And I remember specifically after the win against Newcastle in the FA Cup, where we were magnificent in that game. I thought we were absolutely terrific. Again, that was another highlight. But it seems it just sort of fizzled out in the quarter final. I didn't really want to mention it. But that was a terrific effort. And the players had clearly started to like buy in, because like when he was talking after the game to the players, he goes, "I see, I told you this would happen if you did the work, because you were the ones running around at the end of the game they were dead, and but you did do the work. You did do what I was like. So I wonder whether, maybe they hadn't been doing all the work prior. But it's a, but this is what happens. Look how good we all feel now. This is what happens when you do this. And then like Jan, Jan-Paul van Heghe, he picked up the baton and he said, this is what we need. This is what we need to do from now on. Every week, not just this week. We need to do this every week. And you could just, that for me, there was like a real mental change in the character of the side. And I think that was the first sort of baby steps onto really, them becoming the team that they are now. And, we didn't have, I mean, we let in a lot of goals this season. Way too many, and that needs to be fixed for next season. Absolutely, 100%. But we didn't put out like four actual defenders like for most of the games. We were just filling it in with midfielders, midfielders playing at fullback, which is not ideal. As well as like Mats Wieff has done a decent job deputising at the end, and Hinch will just play anywhere. He'll do whatever is asked of him, but best winger in the world, not the greatest fullback. He's a kind of all okay, but again, we've had to like change the central pairing as well. So you've gone from Van Hecker, Webster, Dunk, Igor, it's all interchanging. You can't. That's not a recipe for success. But despite that, he got 61 points. Despite that, he got into eighth place. And I just think it's, I just think that's an amazing achievement. And I think we go out of this season, until the first ball is kicked, I'm going to be optimistic. Because I think we've got a lot, I think we've got a lot to look forward to. I think a lot of those players who needed to get used to the Premier League and now got some Premier League legs on, under them, and they're going to be better. They're going to be better next year, which gives like the new lot coming in, the new tranche of youngsters, that will give them the time to bed in as appropriate, because the older lads who have already got a season can mind the fort whilst they're getting up to speed and stuff. So I think he's done a great job. And I don't think he's really got it, because he doesn't have the personality of De Zerbi. I still think like the actual style of it, he doesn't have like a clearly identifiable style of play. So I think he doesn't actually get that much credit, but he's just got the job done. And I know, Marcus has not agreed with that sentiment, and that's fair enough. But for me, tough job, and he's done a good job.
Okay, Phil Shelley, follow that.
Well, very well put, Andy. I'm going to be quite short and sweet. As Marcus pointed out, that's Adam Webster's shirt from the Man City game, by the way. The shirt just next to it is my unsung hero, a player who's been considered out of favour, on his way, not going to sign again, not good enough for us. Tarik Lamptey. I think he's had some cracking games this season. He's scored three goals, a couple of assists in there as well. He doesn't seem to complain, comes on the pitch, starts a game, comes on as a sub, whichever way it is. He seems to put the best he can into every game he's played this season. I think he's been pivotal in a few games. Came on as a sub against West Ham in that shirt. I don't know. That's it. Unsung hero. You want an unsung one? No one's sung him as a hero. And I think what he's contributed this season has been exceptional for what little opportunity he's had.
Will he be here next season, though, Phil?
Well, this is, we don't know, do we?
Well,
I'd give him another contract. I think he's still got bags to offer, but some people don't think that.
is he injured at the moment? He is, isn't he? He's not out of form. He's just.
No, I just think that it depends on the merry-go-round as to whose turn it is at right back. I think it's Jason Steele next.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, I kind of don't want Tarik anywhere near the defence. I think Fabian agrees, because it's like that penalty he gave away.
Which one?
Oh, actually, that wasn't a penalty in the end. Actually, it was outside the box, wasn't it? But
Yeah, it was a bit clumsy, but yeah. Yeah,
He's
that's the nature of it.
yeah, we've had a few of those.
Can I
What about you?
I just want to add just one final piece to Andy's bit, because when I said rat bag, I mean it was along the lines of, well, here we are violently agreeing, and I say, like, I fully agree with everything that Andy said there, but I'm also going to say is that, yeah, Marcus is making this point. He's made mistakes, but the nature of the mistakes he's made in every single case have been new ones, different ones, where he's trying something out and you realize that actually they are completely bonkers, and where he has learned, to err is human, and he has never made the same mistake twice. Yes, the one man midfield against Forest, the high line against Chelsea, and
Two
sadly,
goals in 8 minutes in four games, but anyway.
and you know, and the players not actually being professional enough to hold on to 2-0 leads with 5 minutes to go. That is 100% down to the players. No coach can actually go on and affect that kind of behaviour. That is 100% down to the players. Yes, he got it wrong against Forest, and he admitted it. Yes, he got it wrong against Chelsea, and he's not done that. That is the repetition of mistakes have been down to the players who haven't learned. If you're going to blame Hertzler for not telling them they haven't learned, then fair enough. But when it comes to that, he's not made the same mistake twice. My unsung hero actually is that, because you've already said Hertzler, is that, again, I'm going to come away from the men's first team. I'm going to say Dario Vidasic, who, when he came in, watching the Albion women at times was a dirge. Now, I'm not talking about, Phil, the fact that you think that women's football is a dirge. I'm thinking the fact that actually, if the Albion were ever going to compete at the higher levels, something drastic needs to change. This is a fella who's come in. Admittedly, he's had some very decent talent come in and help the team. But the first three or four games, this was an Albion women's team that had really turned things around. There were some games during that season where the team were just hopeless. And I'm not even talking about necessarily the big teams, but to get a fifth place finish, and let's face it, the other four are so far ahead of the pack, it's embarrassing for the women's game and not good for the women's game. So the Albion are kind of the best of the rest, and I think that the rest of football can learn from that. And given the Albion's expected direction of travel for absolutely everything that they try and do, I would expect hopefully the Albion can get closer to that top four. The Albion women's team can get closer to that top four. But the point is, it's all been down to, oh, it's Nikita Paris, oh, it's Vicky Lasada, oh, it's Fran Kirby. Actually, Vidasic has to put that whole lot together, and I don't think he's got the credit for doing so, and especially in his first season managing the WSL. So that's my unsung hero.
Yeah. Well, and Marcus has already done mine, so there we go. Mine was actually Adam Webster as well, and you summed it up perfectly. The fact that he's come in.
The unsung, though.
Well, no, because
I don't hear many people singing about him. They do.
Marcus was offered to drive him wherever he wanted to go many times. It's not. There's always been that ricket in him, and there's always been, I think it was, oh no, it was last season, but there's been, and Marcus said it does take him time to get back up to speed sometimes, but he's come in. He's not been first choice. He's not, he's been behind in the pecking order, behind Igor even at times this season. And obviously, he's had to struggle with injury as well. But he has come in, and the results did pick up when he was in the side. And I'm not saying that's the end of Lewis Dunk. I think far from it. I think Lewis has definitely got a place in the team still. But hopefully, fully refreshed and not as tired as he was without having a break last summer. But Adam's just been really, really good, and he's a pivotal character around the squad as well. Long may that continue.
Isn't it bizarre, though? I mean, there's an irony here, is that if you're talking about the second half of the season, then only that Adam Webster could have been in the running for Player of the Season, and the other fellow who was Player of the Season, Jan Paul van Hekker, got the prize, and yet here we are conceding way too many goals. Go figure.
Well, that is. But another thing, you go figure, is that is it for this season. So thank you so much as ever to Andy Bass. Thank you to Phil Shelley and Marcus Hancocks. Myself and Alan, thank you so much for listening to the show over the last season. Obviously, we'll be back. We'll do a couple of specials throughout the summer. But until then, thanks again so much for listening. And this has been the Albion Raw on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast and in association with Flowers Unlimited. We'll see you next year. Bye.
Sober coaster.